Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to Caravan of Garbage, etc. and so forth. Leave a like. Mason.
Hello.
As I was rewatching Dungeons & Dragons, the movie from the year 2000.
Go on.
I thought to myself, what is this? / how did this happen? And I must know. So the majority of my research into this was just trying to figure out how the fuck we got here with this.
Because this got a cinema release. In the year 2000.
Yeah.
And it looks like...
Now, it sounds like you're joking, because often you'll do a joke.
Sometimes I'll do a joke. Sometimes I'll entitle my notes for a particular movie in a funny way. For example, today I've written Dungeons and Dragons, because the movie's dumb, and it dragged on quite a lot.
And because of the dragons.
Yeah.
That's a good joke.
But the thing that I said earlier about it being released in cinemas in the year 2000 is true, but it looks like... one of those full motion video games from like around that era.
Or before even.
Or like, you know, you'd play like a Command and Conquer or Warcraft or something like that.
Dark Forces 2 Jedi Knight, great game.
Exactly. And it's like the CD-ROM version. So there's full motion video cutscenes. And it's just some people in some rubber costumes. Yeah. Being like, they've cornered the fleet. Well, luckily
send our fleet.
Send the fleet.
So the good fleet.
Yep. I mustn't get the gem of the whatevers.
Yeah. Mark Hamill. I do these in the 90s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, you're absolutely right. But here's how it happened, okay? There were multiple attempts to make this in the 80s. It became like a kids' TV show at one point. Do you remember?
I do.
And that took the famously bad, and I don't like it, where they take real people and they put them into the fantastical world.
I mean, not real people. They're cartoon people.
That's a good point. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think they did it through a carnival ride or something from memory. I can't remember. But I generally don't like that trope, but sometimes, you know, it works. I think the idea here, though, is, you know, you want to be completely immersed in...
You want to be immersed in that world, baby.
I mean, it doesn't work, but I get it.
You want to be immersed in the most generic world there is, baby.
I have so many Dungeons & Dragons questions for you, Mason.
Well,
maybe three.
As you know, but perhaps the viewers don't know, I haven't played Dungeons & Dragons in like 20 years.
Yeah.
But I did play it back in the day, you know, for a couple of years, I think. And, you know, I enjoyed just what I like about a lot of tabletop role-playing games, not even playing it, just like the worlds that they inhabit. Like, you know, you get the source book and it has, you know, the realm that it takes place in and all the various, you know, monsters and characters that inhabit the world. And I'm just a big fan of that. There's been a bunch of like Dungeons & Dragons novels and I've, you know, read a few of those and, you know, it's just a great world. Didn't put it in this though, did they?
There were some things maybe. Again, I have questions.
Okay, we'll get to them later.
So the director of this, Courtney Solomon, so his mother was a freelance production coordinator for movies and TVs, so he spent like a lot of his formative years like on sets in the hometown of Toronto, which
whatever the opposite of a latchkey kid is.
That's true. Go to work with your parents,
clapperboard kid.
Oh, clapperboard kid.
It's called a clapperboard kid.
I don't mind that at all.
Mm.
So what he did at 19 years old, and this is actually incredible, legitimately, he rung the offices of TSR, which is the home of D&D.
First of all, brave. None of us, would any of us had the courage to do that?
No.
Make a phone call. If somebody picked up.
Oh, God.
Oh, what if they didn't pick up and you had to leave a voicemail and you had to think about what to put on there?
Oh.
If anything, I would have just waited until, you know, text messaging became a very common thing and I would have texted like, hey, can I have the rights to Dungeons & Dragons? No worries if not.
Give me it. So he pretended to be an economics student, and he was working on a project related to D&D, and a few months in, after striking up a rapport, he was like...
That was a trick.
It was a trick. He was like, listen, now that I've got my foot in the door, can I pitch you my idea for a Dungeons & Dragons trilogy in the vein of like Star Wars, but instead of X-Wings, you've got dragons, and instead of compelling characters, you've got the second Jimmy Olsen.
But also... in the spirit of Phantom Menace.
There's second Jimmy Olsen from Lois and Clark, not the second Jimmy Olsen from just in general, just to clarify. Please go on.
In the spirit of the Phantom Menace, how about we have some Senate committee meetings?
God, it's very Phantom Menace, isn't it?
Yeah.
Thora Birch just doing her best boring Queen Amidala impersonation.
And you might be like, well, the Phantom Menace came out in 99 and this came out in the year 2000. How would they have time to rip it off in such a manner? This movie took 3 weeks to make,
yeah, exactly.
Probably.
How many? And also, this came out in December of 2000. Also, the Phantom
Menace... too much time.
Exactly, and the Phantom Menace trailers also came out, like, late 1998, so it's very possible.
This guy would have been taking notes, like, okay, boring stuff in the Senate, put that in check. Loving that.
So they gave him the rights to make a movie.
He bought them, though.
Yeah.
He didn't just get them for free.
No.
Because what a coup if he got them for free.
That would be incredible.
If he got them for free, I'd be like, well, this is what you get. Okay, great.
So we got some producers on board various times. Well, sorry, I should say potential producers, including Francis Ford Coppola.
What?
And
is that one of your funny jokes, James?
No, this
like
is
when
real.
I said Dungeons and Dragons.
No, it's not as funny as that joke, and it's not a joke.
Okay.
He also got James Cameron to maybe think about being a producer. So he...
This is some sort of whiz kid.
Yeah.
Wunderkind.
I agree.
Guy. Do you think... maybe the fact that he was a teenager who got these rights sort of gave him some juice in Hollywood. James Cameron's like, this guy sounds like a real go-getter. I wonder if he'd be interested in doing some dangerous underwater stunts. No, well, I'm out.
So Courtney Solomon, he recalls a lunch that he had with James Cameron and Lorraine Williams, who was the TSR boss at the time. And she apparently eyeballed James Cameron and said, what are your qualifications to direct this film? And
incredible.
This was in, like, the mid to late 90s.
This is post-Terminator 2.
Yeah. And he also wasn't even necessarily going to direct. He probably wasn't going to. But what a fucking insane thing to say.
Yeah. Like, you don't check before you go into that meeting?
You've got someone sitting across from you. That is best case scenario for somebody sitting right there.
James, look. Before we get into whether or not this movie is good, it's not. It's really bad. Imagine a world in which she hadn't said that and James Cameron, out of the goodness of his heart and wanting to help out this teen kid, was like, yeah, I will direct Dungeons and Dragons. Imagine what a world we would be in now.
Yeah.
I think it would have changed everything, honestly.
Epic fantasies all the time. Yeah.
We would have been on Dungeons and Dragons 2 by now, probably.
The movie Eragon would probably be better.
Right?
We're on Dungeons and Dragons 4. We'll talk about it.
But I know, but I mean, Cameron would have, at this point, he would have been directing 2.
Yeah, you're
2
right.
Would have just come out. That'd be his passion project now.
So anyway, Joel Silver ended up producing, which is a great get also, because he, of course, was behind the Die Hard movies, the Matrix movies, the movie Swordfish, all classic movies in their own way. But the budget of this...
But everybody has an off day, you know?
I completely agree. But the budget of this was cut from $100 million to $36 million.
$36.
No, it's $36.
You've misspoken. $36.
No, I didn't. I said $36 million. Okay. And the idea was that Solomon couldn't get anybody to agree who was going to direct, so he was just like, "I'm going to do it." So
is that really what happened?
Or that's apparently
like,
what happened.
Or is it like, or is he like, "No, I'm actually going to direct."
Yeah, this is all a ruse.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to bring that TSR lady in every meeting. And get her to insult the new guy. And then eventually we'll run out of directors and I'll have to do it. It's Solomon's time, baby.
It certainly is. But he has said since that he was saddled with an earlier bad script because Wizards of the Coast, who bought TRS in between all of this.
TSR, but yes.
Sorry, who bought TS? Have I been saying TRS?
No, just then.
Oh, my God. Who bought TSR... around in the late 90s. Like they weren't on board with any of this and probably realized that this was a big disaster. He says that they wanted it to fail. So I guess they had script approval and they said, do this one. Anyways.
Do you think it was a kind of the producer's thing? They wanted it to, they'll make a big bank if it failed?
Maybe.
Do you think it's going to happen for the next one that's coming up?
Maybe.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So anyway, I guess one thing you could say about this universe, and this is very purposeful, it's like Star Wars in the sense that you're kind of just dumped into it.
Mm.
Like there's a little bit of kind of like there's a wizard and a whatever.
I did feel a real sense of dumping when I watched this movie.
But
absolutely.
You know, yeah, and it seems, you know, almost like people live in it because sometimes you'll see a market, sometimes you'll see a carpet or a room, and all of these things add up to real, you know,
some real environmental storytelling. There'll be a cup on a table. And you're like, I bet somebody will drink out of that cup. Maybe they already have. Bloody hell. That's you in the cinemas.
I did not see this in the cinemas, though I think you did.
Maybe I did, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't remember. I don't remember the movies that you saw in the year 2000.
Wow.
But here's the thing about the art direction of this movie. Absolute dog shit. What is it? There's, okay, the council chamber is a great example because there's like a velvet floor and like drapes, and Thora Birch is standing on like a stone kind of ornate circle, and there's like weird trim on everything, and there's a set of stairs behind her which clearly aren't sitting flush with the wall. And sometimes it looks like a green screen, but I don't know whether it is or it's just lit badly.
Okay, but again, remember, James, this movie cost $36, so...
Mason, was this a robbery?
What do you mean?
Like, did he just take the money? Did somebody take the money?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
And then maybe they reused some sets from Hercules the Legendary Journeys. It's got some real Hercules the Legendary Journey vibes, I tell you that much.
Completely agree. And I tell you what, they also love in this movie just CGI shots of castles and environments that also then don't connect to the follow-up shot.
Yeah.
One of the early shots is, or I think the first shot, it kind of zooms through a castle and whatever, and it goes through a keyhole, but then it just...
And you were like, this thing could put a key in that. Maybe they already have. Bloody hell, it's amazing. It's environmental storytelling. I'm in the cinema.
I'm just acknowledging that sometimes there's rooms in this.
Yeah, sure,
I think
sure,
that's
sure.
important.
That is
we
important.
Say good things. You have to say a good thing too.
All right, maybe at some point I will.
But yeah, it just hard cuts to just inside the room and it doesn't zoom through. It's just like, bang, we're here.
Well, again, this is right in that pocket where CGI technology was a thing. And people were like, well, we should use it because we have it.
Yeah.
And they shouldn't have. They should have waited 10 years.
Well, but here's the thing. And a lot of people have made this comparison. The Lord of the Rings, which I think the trailer of which played before this.
Oh, no.
Because it's New Line, right?
So there would have been some walkouts before the movie started.
Yeah.
Or within the first couple of minutes.
Absolutely.
Well within that 15 minutes and you get a refund policy, you know. Okay, so you... It's because you saw the trailer for The Lord of the Rings. Okay, cool. Here's your money back. That's fine.
It does explain the box office. But I also think that's kind of an unfair comparison because a closer example of what this movie looks like would be like Dragonheart. Because Lord of the Rings was and is an anomaly. Nothing looks like that, even now. Mm. You know, it's very rare. But I'll give it this. Here's another compliment.
Here we go.
It captures like that kind of dicking about vibe of D&D, except it's not fun. Like, there's running about, and Snails is always screaming, stop it, and making noises. Stop it, Marlon Wayne. Stop it. It's really annoying, actually.
Well, I've got a lot of thoughts about this. Look, I don't think it does maintain the spirit of Dungeons & Dragons. Look, technically, there are dungeons.
Yeah.
But there's also, like, a dungeon-like arena where you have to retrieve a big jewel or something.
Yeah.
Except, in both of these instances, what happens is one guy goes into the dungeon and everybody else is just sitting around.
Yeah.
Which is, James, really reminiscent of the collaborative style of your tabletop role-playing game. When I played Dungeons & Dragons, James, I lost count of the number of times when the dungeon master was like, okay, you go into the dungeon. Rest of you guys, just you have to stay outside because of magic. Oh, do we get our own adventure outside? No. Can we go outside for a smoke? No, not in the game and not in real life either. Just sitting here, you can't do anything. And mobile phones haven't been invented yet, so... I don't know. Do a crossword. Actually, crosswords don't exist in the Dungeons & Dragons universe, so don't do that.
Oh, what could you do? Roll a dice? But
no.
Not for anything.
That would be too distracting.
Okay, you're probably right, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I guess you could practice your dice rolling for later.
Here's something, though.
Mm-hmm.
What a fascinating performance from Jeremy Irons.
Right. I have a note here, and it says, I think all the villainous actors were told to just absolutely devour as much scenery as possible.
Yep.
I think all the heroes were just told to quip any chance they got.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Thora Birch was told to not react to anything at all.
Yeah, that's probably right.
But Jeremy Irons is just, he's a cackling maniac.
I mean, he has talked about, you know, working on this and how it was like obviously garbage and whatever. But
I think people were having fun when they were making it. At least some actors were.
Exactly. I think, and I know like in terms of, like classical acting. Obviously, that's not good, probably. I don't know, is it? But at least he's compelling. You're he's doing it, isn't
What's
he?
What's he going to do next? Is he going to scream? Is he going to laugh?
Yeah.
Is he going to wave a sword, do a magic, put a big serpent in somebody's ears?
Yeah, he'll do that.
He's going to put a serpent in a man's ears, maybe.
And then, you know, so you've got your little D&D party, like your mages and your whatever, and an elf, and the tallest dwarf I've ever seen. Is it dwarf?
Yes.
Tallest dwarf I've ever seen.
Oh, it's dwarf.
And here's the thing, right?
But they've just put the... Really, it's... there's three main characters, right? There's the main guy, yep. There's Snails. We never get an explanation for why he's called Snails. Mm-hmm, not even Snail. It's not like he's slow.
I have that note. Why is it Snails?
Right?
Did he eat a bunch of snails?
He must have eaten a bunch of snails. And the mage lady. This is...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
In a way, we haven't really talked about the plot because it's irrelevant, but it's a real snobs versus slobs situation because the slobs are the regular people who just want a bit of equality, and then the snobs are all the mages who are like, no!
Except for Thora Birch, who's like, hey, be cool.
Yeah, she's not a mage though, really, is she?
That's true, she's the queen or something.
But anyway, there's the three main characters, and I guess somebody during the production of this was like, oh, I guess...
Put an elf in.
Yeah, I guess we've got to have an adventuring party, so I'll put a dwarf and an elf in here, but... They have nothing to do.
They don't explain really why they're there.
Yeah, yeah.
Or their incentive.
It's
for
interesting
doing so.
That this guy like clearly spent his entire adolescence wanting to have a Dungeons and Dragons movie made.
Mm.
But then when he got the rights, I guess he had like 45 minutes to get the script written.
Well, again, it was the first earlier script. Yeah. There was probably a better script, Mason.
Yeah,
definitely, I think. And I think the stuff that kind of annoys me about this, like, you know how he does a couple of, like, tasks and, like, he does a maze,
the
right?
main guy.
Yeah, the main guy. Yes. The second Jimmy Olsen from Lois and Clark.
Yes.
Who's fine, by the way.
Yeah.
I think everybody in this is fine.
I think everybody in this
except
is fine.
Except for Jeremy Irons, who's exceptional.
That's right.
But, so he goes into, like, you know, a maze and he's got to do a series of tasks. But it's just obstacles. Like, where's like a door opens and a fucking fire wolf comes out or something? I don't know.
Yes.
Anything.
Well, I'm just going to
say. But it's always like a series of spikes moving towards him or whatever. Yeah, like, this is it?
Well, look, I think you want to ask me about the Dungeons & Dragons lore.
Yeah, I'm going to do that now.
If we want to talk about that now. Like, so this isn't set. Like, if you play Dungeons & Dragons, you can play in a universe you create. You can play in a sort of generic universe, or you can like purchase pre-built sort of universes. There's like Forgotten Realms and Greyhawk and Ravenloft and all these kind of different realms with different characters and kind of sometimes different rules for magic and all that sort of stuff. And I guess if you wanted to acquire Dungeons and Dragons and the rights to one of these other campaign settings, that would cost more. So I guess it's cheaper to just make the generic one. But see, even if that is true, just the base Dungeons and Dragons level universe with the player's handbook and all that sort of stuff and the monster manual just has like so many incredible sort of spells and monsters and adventures.
Like a wolf that's on fire.
Like a wolf that's on fire, for example. But none of that is in this.
Yeah.
The only point in which in this movie, besides the dragons, there's dragons in this, they're fine.
Yeah.
The only point in this movie where we see what I would consider a classic, undeniably Dungeons and Dragons monster is at a point where the main guy and Snails, they do a bit of sneaking around. They've got to sneak into a place. And so they quietly sneak behind the back of a classic couple of Dungeons and Dragons monsters, except the Dungeons and Dragon monster in question is a beholder, which is canonically in the D&D universe of super genius intelligence and also has 10 eyes on stalks that enable it to look in every direction at once.
Yeah.
Like you couldn't...
Don't they throw a stone and it goes, oh.
Yeah, yeah. You couldn't pick a worse Dungeons & Dragons monster to quietly sneak behind the back of if you tried. Like it's... You couldn't do it. It wouldn't work.
Yeah.
You could... And it sort of surprises me that the guy who wanted to make this sort of fundamentally didn't get... Dungeons and Dragons, yeah. It seems. You know what I mean?
No, I know exactly what you mean.
Plus, all the eyes do lasers and stuff.
That's exactly it. And I had some questions for you, and I think I have one answer. So the Empire of Yzma, which is what this is, mm-hmm. apparently, it's loosely based on the little-remembered original basic D&D setting of Mystara.
Okay, sure.
And the quote here from Courtney Solomon is, "It seemed better to just do a generic campaign that had all the rules and all the creatures and the spells you would use in any campaign setting." But I suspected, and I didn't know this, that that's not true. Because my question to you was, how much of this do you recognize? Like, there's the flying meatball covered in snakes, right?
The beholder, yes.
Yeah, but how many of these, like, spells are specific to D&D or just generic?
They're all just generic.
I'm sure, like, there is a spell that shoots a rope and ties you up. I'm sure that exists.
Yeah.
Right, but
Shoot a Ropey Amos, it's called, in the Dungeons and Dragons universe.
Like, does dragon's blood, when it pours into water, does it catch fire? Is that something? Because I looked into it and apparently it's not.
I don't think so, no.
Yeah, I had a question about snails. Like, is that a normal name? No. I don't know, you can call your character anything.
Yeah.
You could be, like, big butt, two butts, his head's, all the, look at two butts heads.
Right, sure.
And that's funny.
That is funny. That's the spirit of Dungeons and Dragons.
And I guess my last question is the porridge rug, is that common?
No, but I do have a note here that says the trap carpet that turns into custard is the best effect in the movie. As far as I'm concerned.
Well, it's real.
It's all practical and it looked like a nice carpet. They clearly, they built the custard, they put the custard in the pit, yeah. or whatever, and then they did that thing, you know, where you get a cappuccino and you put the yeah. chocolate powder on the top and make a little art. They've done that with the carpet. They've made it look like a real carpet, and then Snail steps in it. He's like, oh, I'm in custard.
And he goes,
Yeah.
Well, the guy who designed, like, all the mazes and traps and whatever.
But to answer your question, the custard carpet is on the cover of Mystara, the main source book.
Okay.
And underneath it says, watch out for custard carpet. Look out.
You have to.
Yeah.
What's wild is the guy who designed all the trap sequences in, like, Raiders of the Lost Ark did these.
Wow.
And I guess I can see those similarities.
Mm.
But it is just, again, generic kind of traps and fire and whatever. Anyways, the ending of this, mm-hmm. where they're all standing on top of a tower screaming at each other.
Except for Snails, who's killed. Yeah. Which I felt, again,
that is the funniest reaction I think I've seen to anything. Just that drop to the knees.
Yeah,
like,
the main guy's like, no!
And then he just, that casual, just throw off the
but
balcony.
Also, and even at the time, and especially upon a rewatch, I'm like, that feels really tonally out of place for this movie.
Yeah.
This movie, it should have been like, he gets winged and he's like, well, I'm out of the movie. I'll see you at the end or whatever. But no, he gets like all his bones broken and his head turned around. He gets stabbed in the the neck or whatever. Awful.
Yeah.
Awful stuff.
But don't worry, because at the very end, there's a cool biker costume that Jimmy Olsen wears. And then they leave the dragon eye on Snails' grave. But then they take the dragon eye and then they're told that Snails is alive and then they all zoom off.
Mm.
And I don't know what the fuck any of that was supposed to be. But Snails is not dead, it turned out. Is he in the sequel? No, we'll talk about it. But again, when they're all standing on the tower, like, that level of green screen is quite frankly inexcusable.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about, like, the people who worked on it. I'm talking about any of the money and the way this was kind of clearly shot in a hurry, and it's just dreadful.
There's a moment where the mage guy and the snooty, there's a moment where the main guy and the snooty, a wizard lady who are going to have a kiss later, they both say some spell words and they end up in a map, and they sort of turn to smoke and just go into the map, and it's just horrendous. Like in a Round the Twist or something. Like a super low budget Australian TV series that you'd watch of an afternoon for kids.
The Wayne Manifesto, for example.
Yeah, it's that level of
Spellbinder.
It's that level of special effect. Astounding that made it to a theatrical released movie. But again, you gotta remember $36. That's all they had.
Yeah, you gotta remember that, yeah.
They got like 50 cents a piece for those.
And I guess credit to like there being so many dragons on screen.
But also, the dragons, nothing like D&D dragons.
No.
I mean, technically, there was a red dragon and a gold dragon.
Yeah, but the gold dragon looks brown.
Mm.
And as they're fighting, I don't know what the difference is.
Yeah.
Because I watched the behind the scenes and it's like, well, we designed the red one to be more kind of pit bull-like and the brown one's gold to be more sleek. I didn't get a sense of any of that.
And also in Dungeons & Dragons, like, all the dragons are sort of very smart and like have individual names and personalities, and they're all kind of, you know, legendary, and they'll, you know, like, and they all have stories told about them. And this is just like, yeah, copy and paste some dragons in, I guess. We need some more red ones, put some more red ones in. It's fine.
Completely agree. Anyway, Mason, they let the blood rain from the sky, which I think was my favorite quote from this. Let's do some green trivia.
All right, let's do it. What
a dreadful situation this is. green trivia, and of course, the guy who shouts Rodney.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, when asked why he did this film, Jeremy...
Why? That was at the red carpet.
Jeremy Irons replied, "Are you kidding me? I just bought a castle. I had to pay for it somehow."
Makes a lot of sense, yeah.
Now, during this movie, at around 42:29, somebody says, I can't remember who. It wasn't Snails, because I would have remembered that.
This is about Honor Among Thieves.
Yeah, someone says Honor Amongst Thieves, and I went, wow, epic foreshadowing,
That's right. They say it twice, I think.
I think they say Honor Among Thieves.
Oh.
That's a 22 minutes, roughly. Oh, and then Honor Amongst Thieves later on. Yeah.
Well.
Something that you should know. Mm. Now, unusually, Mason, the particular shade of lipstick that Damodar, which is the bald guy.
With the snakes in his ears.
Yeah, with the snakes in his ears.
Yeah. Damodar snake's ears. Rare example of nominative determinism.
The lipstick that Damodar snake ears wore required a particular strain of seaweed that only when cultivated and harvested correctly would give it the bluish hue required before application. Mason. So as a result of this, so that situation, it actually led to the working title of this movie being Blue Harvest, which funnily enough was... the working title for the original Star Wars.
Viewers, how far into that sentence was it before you realised what he was doing?
For me, I didn't know at all.
Yeah, well, look, I didn't... For me, it was not so much the words, it was just a little glint in your eyes that you got before you started the sentence. I'm like, oh, here we go.
I'm glad no one else could see that.
Here we go.
Yeah. Anyway, box office. Budget of $36 million.
Dollars.
Budget of $36 million.
All right.
Wikipedia, I think, says about 40, but I don't know about that. And the box office return on that was 33.8.
Well, that's less.
Agreed. Now, this was, though, good enough for two sort of connected direct-to-DVD sequels that feature the return of Damodar Snake Ears.
Does it? Do they?
Yeah.
Whoa.
But the next one is set 100 years later.
Okay.
And it's called Dungeons and Dragons, Wrath of the Dragon God.
In a way, I'm glad I got the snakes in my ears because they gave me some sort of immortality, I guess. That's the opening line for the...
We did watch it, didn't we?
Yeah.
In preparation. That was in 2005. And then in 2012, we got Dungeons & Dragons 3, The Book of Vile Darkness. None of these are particularly well loved.
I was not even aware there was a third one.
Yeah. So the future of this particular series.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So there was actually a scuffle over the rights in 2013.
I don't want them. I don't want them either. Get away from me. Last person to touch them has to keep them. Nah.
Let's just throw them into the porridge. Thing.
Quick, kick him over there. Maybe that possum will take him. And then they'll have to make a Dungeons & Dragons movie.
So there was a scuffle over the rights in 2013 after Sweet Pea Productions, which was Courtney Solomon's production house, announced another D&D movie. But Hasbro, who I guess acquired the license in between, right, issued a statement lawsuit 2 days later saying that they were actually making a D&D movie with Warner Brothers and Universal.
We're actually making them, actually.
Yeah, that's right. They were making a D&D movie with Warner Brothers and Universal, and in 2015 it was encouraged that they settle this dispute. So basically he gave the rights back for money, it seems.
We'll give you the $3 million that this movie would have needed to break even. And then you have to go away forever.
But yeah, then the rights jumped over to Paramount in 2017, and here we are.
Oh, yeah.
There is so much that could be done here, and I know that because so much of media takes from Dungeons & Dragons.
Yeah.
And I know you could also argue that like Dungeons & Dragons borrows from like Narnia and Lord of the Rings, etc. and so forth. But what a rich world of untapped potential.
I agree. And look, at time of recording, the new Dungeons & Dragons movie is not out. But it does seem, at least from the trailers, that they are leaning more heavily in towards like the unique and interesting aspects of the Dungeons & Dragons universe with your monsters and your magics.
Is there a fire? Is there a wolf with its fire head on fire?
Yep.
Great. It's my favourite animal.
Yeah. And
Damodar Snake Ears back?
God, I hope so. My snake ears have allowed me to come into this universe.
Boom!
In a way, it's actually...
Get out!
I'm just saying.
Fuck off. More for real, fuck off.
More people should get snakes in their wrists.
Get the fuck out.
Okay, I'll go.
Kill yourself.
Anyway, I was going to say, I think it seems we're actually going to get the classic adventuring party, which actually get to do their stuff.
Yeah, it would truly have to be the most dreadful movie ever made to be worse than this.
Yes.
But in a way, I admire that this somehow happened. Anyways, this has been Caravan of Garbage. We do this every week. Do you want to know what we're doing next week, Mason?
Yeah.
Well, here's a hint.
Wow.
Incredible, right? And you can actually see that early if you head over to BigSandwich.co, where the videos always go up there early, but it's not the only thing there. There's a bunch of exclusive stuff behind a paywall.
Bonus content, bonus podcasts.
That's right. Movie commentaries.
Early videos.
That's right. And our podcast, The Weekly Planet, where we talk movies and comics and TV shows. That normally comes out Monday, just choked with ads.
Mm-hmm.
But you can get it Sunday ad-free there.
That's right.
We are going to be covering the new D&D movie.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe some famous Australian boys make an appearance. It's not us. It's someone actually famous.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But who's to say? I don't know if I can say that.
Ah.
Name them Auntie Donna.
We'll ask him.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for watching, everybody.
Grab that gem, you guys. We'll see you next week.
Thank you to Ben and Lawrence for the edit.
Thanks, guys.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.